And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about events happening in the news. There are some, very interesting things that are going on. We've been monitoring the whole situation with the ending of Title 42. Title 42 goes down, and we're told that more than a million illegal immigrants poured into our country within a matter of just a few days. Now, the illegal immigration situation seems to have died down, well, at least in the media. But that doesn't mean that the problem has come to an end. Now, I did a show. Some of you may have listened to the program that I did with Doug Thornton on his American Vindicta podcast. He's got the radio podcast. He's also got the video podcast. And of course, we did it on a Zoom call and had a very interesting discussion. And of course, my perspective on this illegal immigration situation is this is an invasion. And Americans, and it's not just an invasion in theory, you know, just, it's an invasion. No, this is the planned invasion of America by the Roman Catholic Church, by the Vatican, the Jesuit order, and I would have to say by the Catholic leaders in Mexico. If you really want to understand, if you want to get some really good, I think, detailed information on what's happening, go to the Center for Immigration Studies, CIS.org. The research done by journalist Todd Benzman on the migrant crowds and so on. He does a very good job. In fact, you'll see him on Brannon's program at Worldview Weekend, with Brannon House. And he talks about the situation down there, and he's got a lot of reports and videos showing just, you know, massive crowds of illegals crossing the river into the United States of America. At different places, crossing over. Now, what's very interesting is after I talked with Doug Thornton, he sent me a picture of the church down there in El Paso where many of the illegals gather. And it was a Catholic church. And he said that his friends, now Doug, remember, is an ex-Marine and a former federal police officer. So he spent years working for the federal government. That's part of his story, which you can find if you go online and look up his American Vindicta show. So he still knows people in the federal government who are working in law enforcement who are down there on the border. And of course, we still have a lot of patriotic people who are involved in government and law enforcement and federal agents and things like that. We know that the FBI is being weaponized. And part of Doug's testimony is that he got out of that line of work because of certain things that he was seeing and learning while he was working for the feds. And he said he just didn't, you know, his conscience would not allow him to continue. So he's a God-fearing Christian man. He got out, started his own podcast, and now he is, you know, he's taking a new direction in life. Praise the Lord. But this church that he sent me a picture of is down in El Paso, and it's called the Sacred Heart Church in El Paso, Texas. Sacred Heart Church in El Paso, Texas. And of course, I go and I look it up, and not surprisingly, it is a Jesuit church. And I wrote Doug back and I said, you realize this is a Jesuit church? And he did not know that. He just knew it because his friends told him this is the place where many of the illegals gather. And apparently some of the police are fearful of going near that area because apparently it's very dangerous because of this illegal migrant situation there. And what do you know? It's a Jesuit church. If people want to understand what is really going on, these kind of elements, they have to take into consideration. This is the planned invasion of the United States of America, as far as I'm concerned. But it's not being happened. It's not happening by nameless, faceless actors that nobody knows. Because the way the news talks about it, they just say, oh, the Democrats this and the illegals that and so on. Nobody ever makes the connection with Rome, not in the mainstream, at least not from what I see. And of course, I've stopped watching mainstream media a couple of years ago, really after the election in 2020, because even with Fox News at that point, Fox News graduated into full-blown conservative fake news industry. And they're only getting worse. Fox News has now fully become fake news for conservatives. If you're a conservative and you want to get some fake news, you watch Fox. And they'll give you a conservative spin on fake news information. Now they're pushing the transgender ideology at Fox, even though at points they seem like they're opposing it, but they're promoting it. According to Breitbart, they are promoting it. They've got an article here that says, report, quote, woke Fox News imposes transgenderism on workforce. You see, it's not enough that these companies are telling people live and let live, you know, however, you know, whatever you believe is, that's your choice, etc. That's not how it's being done. It's being imposed on the schools, imposed in the workplaces, imposed on our society. And of course, the communists are using their methods of forced integration. Forced integration. Now, forced integration goes back to the civil rights movement. And at first, it seems like a noble idea when they wanted to end segregation, the separation of the white communities from the black communities. But they didn't simply desegregate and say, OK, people can associate with whoever they want to associate with. That's not what they do. They force integrate. In other words, they say we're going to take a certain number of the black community and we're going to forcibly integrate them into the white community through these affirmative action type policies. Into schools, colleges, universities, businesses, etc. Now, at first, because you're talking about issues of racial equality, people want to be reasonable. You don't want to be unreasonable towards somebody because of their race. And if that were the end of it, then I think it would be an acceptable idea. But that's not the end of it. And we're seeing now what's happening. Forced integration does not just involve black culture with white culture. It also now involves homosexual culture with Christian culture, transgender culture with the Christian community and all of America, illegal immigration being forcibly integrated into our society. We're being told in a whole variety of different ways that we do not, as a society and a people, have the right to exercise holiness. The word holy means separation, to be separate. So we don't have the right, according to them, to operate in a separate manner, to be separate from criminal and immoral behavior. We don't have a right to be separate from that. We must be forcibly integrated with a criminal and an immoral element. And that's what's happening now with this homosexual trans stuff. It's being forcibly integrated into areas of society so that you have no choice. You're being told you must forcibly participate with this immoral behavior, whether you like it or you don't. Forced integration. So remember, desegregation is one thing, just simply saying, okay, people can associate however they wish. Forced integration is a method of invasion employed by the communists. This is how they invade countries and take them over. They forcibly integrate various populations. This is what they're doing with the Muslims in Western Europe and also here in America. They're forcibly integrating Muslims into Christian society, saying you have to give them top jobs in your schools, colleges, and universities. You must allow them to run for office politically. You must allow them to become the mayors of your towns and your cities, whether you like it or not, whether you want to do it or not. Doesn't matter. You have to do it. We're forcibly integrating them into your system. And it's a form of invasion. But it's very clever. It masquerades itself as a kind of moral virtue. However, once you begin to examine it against the Word of God and what God says through His commands and so on, where God says, be you holy, even as I am holy. In other words, be you separate, even as I am separate. That's what God is saying. And how are we separated? Well, we're separated by the Word of God, by God's law and His commands, living according to the laws of God. So what they're doing, what the globalists are doing, is they're bringing in foreign people who do not live according to God's law, according to His commands, and they know it. And they're bringing in these groups that they know are really anti-Christian in their worldview, and they're forcibly integrating them into Christian society, really to undermine the whole foundation and worldview of the Christian world. And when I say that, when I say the Christian world, what I'm really talking about is those countries that were always considered Christian countries, the countries of Western civilization. All right, so back to the issue of illegal immigration and what's really going on with illegal immigration. Well, I believe if you want to understand what's really going on with illegal immigration, you need to go and you need to study the document Strangers No Longer, Together on the Journey of Hope. And you can find this on the website for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And it's between the Catholic bishops of America and the Catholic bishops of Mexico. And it is, you just go read their flowery language, and it all sounds, well, it certainly has a Christian overtone, because, of course, they're mentioning God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation and things like this, all of which, you know, most Christians are simply going to agree to these ideas. However, within a Roman Catholic context, they don't necessarily mean the same thing. If you read the Council of Trent and Vatican I and Vatican II, there's a very different definition of what these ideas and you know, from the Bible, exactly what they mean and how they are understood. So having said that, you have, let me just give an overview of this document. It says, quote, on January 23rd, 1999, at the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Pope John Paul II presented his apostolic exhortation, Ecclesia in America. Now, ecclesia, of course, is the word for church. So it literally means church in America, the church in America. But from the Catholic context, whenever Catholics say the church, they mean the Roman Catholic Church. That's what they mean. They're not talking about Protestants or anybody else. When they say the church, they mean the Roman Catholic Church. And so this is really about the invasion of America. Now, of course, they don't come right out and say it that way. They're using all sorts of flowery language and their methods of sophistry and casuistry and this kind of thing to make it seem like, on the one hand, a spiritual faith-based responsibility that you have to accept all of these illegal immigrants into America, into the country. Now, bear in mind that this document was published back in 2003. Back in 2003. Let me read part of this, because this is long before Donald Trump became president, long before we heard these arguments in the media about, quote, separating families, that families are being separated. Why? Because they jumped the border illegally, and of course people get arrested, and whenever people break the law, that's what happens. Somebody gets arrested, they go to jail, and they are separated from their family. This is just what happens. But it's been made out in the media to be like this unusual thing when it's applied to illegal immigrants. Well, where does that whole line of thinking come from? I believe it comes from this document. So here's what it says. It says, quote, "We witness the human consequences of migration in the life of society every day. We witness the vulnerability of our people involved in all sides of the migration phenomena, including families devastated by the loss of loved ones who have undertaken the migration journey, and children left alone when parents are removed from them." Right? Right there, you have this whole separation of families argument within this Roman Catholic document that specifically addresses this whole issue. And so the media really is being guided by Rome. And I believe, you know, you go back and you read J.A. Wiley in 1881, what he said about the Jesuit order. He said there are two areas of society that the Jesuits will strain every nerve to control. He said the press and the pulpit. The press, the media, newspapers, etc., and the pulpit, what's being preached in the churches. Those are the two primary areas where the Jesuits, he says, will strain every nerve to get control of what's, you know, what the dominant message is, what the narrative is from those two areas, because those are going to be the two areas that have the greatest influence in society. And so this is, what is the narrative in the media? Well, it matches this document right here. And of course, there's a lot more to it. People can go and study it. You've also got the website strangersnolonger.org. And there, if you go there, you begin to see the whole Roman Catholic network that is designed around illegal immigration, the systematic mass importation of Mexican and Latin American Catholics into the United States. And of course, they're being brought in, and then socialist programs are being applied to them. So they're being given all of these resources with American taxpayer money. And this is all Rome's Thomas Aquinas redistribution of wealth, because Aquinas argued justifiable theft, that it's okay to steal as long as you steal for a good reason. So stealing from the American people for the good cause of mass migration of Mexican immigrants illegally into our country, of course, that's all a good cause. So you can violate the laws and do whatever you need to do for the good cause of invading America. And, of course, bringing America every day closer to a full-blown socialist form of government, which is where all this is headed. It's why the globalists want to bring in massive millions and millions of people who are immediately going to become dependent on the state for financial aid in one way or another. And that's how socialism happens, ultimately. All right, we are going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other things happening. We're going to move on, and we're going to talk about the importance of history. Here's an article on Front Page Mag. Don't know much about history, and that's the first step toward losing our civilization. Losing Our Civilization, another article on American suicide. That's the headline, Our American Suicide. Is America committing suicide by its policies? But we'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists, or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today in the show, we're talking about a number of things going on in the news. We started out going over some of these issues where illegal immigration into our country is concerned. The issue seems to have died down, at least temporarily, but it's not an issue that is going to go away. As we've talked about before, Rome has had a plan in place for well over 100 years to take control of the United States using mass migration of Catholics into the United States of America. Now, certainly, there is nothing wrong with Catholics migrating into the United States of America legally. My father's side of the family were Catholics who migrated into America. My adopted grandfather, Zygmunt Zadorowski, who I've talked about before, was a Catholic immigrant who came here legally from Poland. Legal migration into the country is one thing. The problem that everybody has is illegal immigration into the United States. And notice what they're doing. They're trying to get as many millions and millions and millions of illegals into the country using their method of immigration warfare called irredentism. Irredentism. That is what they're doing. That's basically the Jesuit version of the Hijra, the Islamic immigration jihad. So a Jesuit Hijra is irredentism. That would be how I would explain it to someone. All right, now on a different issue, here's a very interesting article on the Gateway Pundit. And the headline says, report confirms dozens of senators are being issued taxpayer-funded satellite phones in preparation for, quote, a disruptive event. A disruptive event. And if you read the story, it's basically inspired in part by the events surrounding January 6th. They're claiming that January 6th was this disruptive event and that the members of Congress need to have special phones. It says the official line of reasoning behind offering the satellite phones was, quote, to ensure a redundant and secure means of communication during a disruptive event. Some kind of emergency. The idea being, if communication lines went down, if the internet, I suppose, if, you know, it says, quote, the Department of Homeland Security claims the phones are a security backstop in the case of an emergency that takes out communications in part of America. Now, when you see a story like this, it's worth paying attention to. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. We have to wait and see. And there's lots of stories that have similar tones to them where you're wondering, OK, are we getting closer to that moment where everything just falls apart suddenly in society? You wake up one day and all the communication lines are out. The internet's down. And chances are, if there were some kind of a plan to attack or invade America, as some people have predicted, you know, a Red Dawn type scenario, one of the things that would happen would be somebody would shut down the communication lines because that would have a crippling effect on the population. So that's a story worth paying attention to. Now, we don't know where it's going. We'll have to wait and see, but I do think it's worth mentioning because often these globalist operations, the things that they do, they are often signaling. The conspiracy is hidden in plain sight. That's one of the practices of these secret groups, secret societies. They like to project and foretell. They want to brag almost about what they're doing or what they're getting ready to do. Personally, I think the reason they're doing it is because they are being driven, these evil groups that are working behind the scenes are being driven by satanic powers. And when Lucifer in Isaiah 14 says, quote, I will be like the Most High, he's going to imitate the things of God. God, what makes God's character unique in the Bible, the God of the Bible now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, tells us in Isaiah chapter 46, he says, I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. So God says, I have declared it, and I will also bring it to pass. So that is a unique characteristic of the one true God, that he is able to declare what will happen in the future and then also bring it to pass. And that's why prophecy is so important. That's why the gospel was first preached in the first century based on prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's why the scriptures say, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive the remission of sins. Salvation, life eternal. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even that scripture, which we find in the New Testament, Acts 2:21, tells us that. But that is, again, a declaration of a prophecy from Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Praise the Lord. So notice, in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, the gospel was first preached in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said. In other words, according to prophecy. According to prophecy. So I believe what these globalists like to do, because they're being inspired by Lucifer, this would be my interpretation of what they do, is they want to be like God. They want to have that God-like ability to proclaim in advance what they're going to do, to signal it, and then to bring it to pass, because this is what makes them feel powerful. You know, makes them feel like they have this godlike ability to make declarations and then make them happen, etc. But of course, their declarations and so on are, you know, they're very short-lived. I mean, to a certain extent, anybody can do it. You can say to somebody, hey, I'll be at your house at 10:30, right? 10:30 in the morning, let's say, and then, wow, you show up at 10:30. But it doesn't really mean that you have godlike prophetic ability, because you can declare that and then go do it. God's prophecies are quite different. They're often separated by thousands of years, sometimes by centuries, sometimes by thousands of years. Then we have examples in the scripture of prophecies that are fulfilled in a very short period of time. Like the declarations, for example, that God made against King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. They were proclaimed, and then much of it was fulfilled by Jehu. And in fact, when Jehu is executing judgment against the house of King Ahab, he says, know this, that none of the words of the Lord shall fall to the ground. In other words, that which God has proclaimed is going to happen to the house of Ahab and with Queen Jezebel and so on, all of that's going to come to pass. And of course, we know the word of God is true. We believe that all of God's prophecies ultimately will be fulfilled. We may not understand how they're going to be fulfilled. There's a lot of debate and theories and disagreements and things like that. But we trust and we believe fully that all of God's prophecies will come to pass in due time according to the will of God. That we believe firmly. All right, so here is another article I want to go over. And this one you can find on Front Page Mag. And the headline says, Our American Suicide. America's founding principles are now vilified as threats to democracy. This we are hearing more and more every day. We're hearing more and more every day. In fact, there's a video that somebody's posted here where you had some students at what looked like a college or a university, and they had a table out, and they had all of these pro-life materials. And there was a college professor, and I don't know with what university the professor was teaching at. It's just very difficult to believe that people like this are, quote, professors in our universities. But this person was a very radical left-wing, foul-mouthed, violent person, and showed up and started cursing and swearing and throwing the materials, you know, knocking the materials over, that the students who were simply quietly and peacefully communicating their opinions on the issue of abortion. But this professor was not willing to allow that or to accept it, and then said at one point, what are you going to do next? You're going to be anti-trans? So there's no question that this Marxist invasion of our country and our system politically, through the education system, through the courts, and through the politics, and through the media, it is the invasion of our country. This movement is seeking to fully and completely usurp the authority of our constitutional republic. Make no mistake about it, folks. The Supreme Court has effectively declared, with their rulings in favor of homosexual marriage and transgenderism, where they have declared that legally a man in a dress must be called legally a woman. Now just think about that. That is usurping the entire authority of our system of government, because our whole system of government is based on the authority of God as our creator. Our entitlements come from the laws of nature and of nature's God, which is a direct reference to the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Go study Sir William Blackstone and John Locke and many, many others. That phrase was very well known at the time of America's founding. It is a direct reference to Almighty God and how there's only two ways, according to our ancestors, that anybody can understand who God is. One, through the witness of nature in the creation. The invisible things of God are clearly seen through the things that are made, Romans chapter 1. Read Psalm 19. It effectively says the same thing. Through the witness of creation and through divine revelation, the Bible, the Holy Scripture. And the reality is man of himself, according to the collective witness of the Bible and the understanding of our ancestors, man does not have the ability on his own to perfectly comprehend the judgments of God and the will of God through nature because of his sinful condition, because man is corrupted by sin. So therefore, he needs the co-witness of God's law in divine revelation in order to be able to comprehend the difference between right and wrong, how to love God, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what is bound up in that phrase, laws of nature and of nature's God. It's a very, very important phrase. It's the foundation of our country. All men are created, it goes on to say, and are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Rights in America, and really everywhere on the earth, but in America, our forefathers openly declared it, rights come from God as our Creator. Well, the LGBT and trans movement are seeking to completely overthrow that. I mean, that's really what's going on. That they are usurping the authority of our entire republic. And now they want everything redefined in our system based on the ideas of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah ideology is what they want to govern America. And what's so dangerous about this is when you see the rainbow flag, the homosexual rainbow flag, flying over American embassies, that is a political statement. They're not allowing the flag of other groups to be hanged over the embassies. Why the LGBT flag? Okay, that is a political statement of usurping and taking over the government of the United States. And every American should be concerned about that because it's entirely unconstitutional. It's not just unconstitutional, folks, it is anti-constitutional. It is against freedom of speech, against freedom of religion, against freedom of conscience, against your freedom to acknowledge God and the law of God and the natural world that God has created and given to us. And it goes back to the very foundation of what the words "we the people" meant originally. If you go back to John Wycliffe, it's why we talk about this in my film, The True Christian History of America. If you watch that film, when we talk about John Wycliffe, when Wycliffe published his Bible and he said, this Bible is for a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It was based on Wycliffe's belief that the common people have a right to be governed according to the laws and the commandments of God. That's the right that you have. You have a right to obey God's law. That's the very foundation of God-given rights. That's what it means. You see, this is what should be taught in our schools, is not being taught in our schools. But ask yourself the question, how are you going to have God-given rights without God? How are you going to have God-given rights unless you're able to define within reason who God is? You have to be able to define who God is in order to understand God-given rights. Now, our ancestors understood all of that. They had these discussions, but you go read their writings. They understood all of this. And so, no, they would never have just set up a system based on natural law. Some people think that, but they're mistaken. When I interviewed the late, great Dr. Herb Titus, who appears in our film, Dr. Titus, who was a Harvard-trained lawyer and a constitutional expert, and talked about details of the Constitution that most people don't even think about. For example, people say that there's no mention of Christ in the Constitution. He says that's false, that Jesus is mentioned in the subscription clause, where it says, in the year of our Lord, 1787. That is a direct reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you cannot say that Christ is not mentioned in the Constitution. Now, some will say, oh, but they weren't all believers. Okay, we'll go to Matthew chapter 25. They say, oh, all the revolutionaries were not Orthodox believers in Christianity. They didn't necessarily believe that Jesus was divine, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, fine. Go to Matthew 25. What do you read in Matthew 25? When the Lord returns, he separates the nations with the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. What do the sheep and the goats have in common? They both call Jesus Lord. They both call him Lord. So it really doesn't matter whether somebody is a sheep or a goat. Jesus is still Lord, even if somebody doesn't want to believe in him. He doesn't stop being Lord because those people don't believe in him. Well, so what? That doesn't remove his lordship. He doesn't stop being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because there are people who don't believe in him. Furthermore, the phrase, and I think this is the most important part to me, the phrase in the year of our Lord only pertains to one person. One person in the entire history of the world, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is well known today. That was well known at the time the Constitution of the United States was written. In fact, that phrase was debated. It was being debated specifically over in Europe, and the French did not want to employ the phrase anymore because of the French Revolution, which was a pagan anti-God movement, and they wanted to get rid of any references to God or to Christianity or anything like that. So they did not want to employ that phrase. Now, if we fast forward into more modern times and we remember Ruth Bader Ginsburg, there is an article on Reader's Digest, in fact, just a few months ago, 15 ways Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has made history. Okay? And this is, of course, after she passed away in 2020. This article was published in 2023, back in February. And so here's, and they list all these different things that she did. But one of them was, quote, she had, in the year of our Lord, removed from Supreme Court bar certificates. Had it removed from Supreme Court bar certificates. And it says, quote, at the Washington, D.C. synagogue, Addis Israel congregation in 2018, Ginsburg described how at the beginning of her time as a justice, she was asked to speak up on behalf of Jewish attorneys of the Supreme Court bar, who did not want, quote, in the year of our Lord, to be written on their membership certificates. Every year they would get half a dozen or so complaints from Orthodox Jews who said, we're so proud of our membership in the Supreme Court bar, but we can't frame our certificate and put it on the wall because it says, quote, in the year of our Lord. And he's not our Lord, Ginsburg said. Now ask yourself the question, did Ginsburg and these Jewish lawyers know who was meant by he? Who's he? He's not our Lord. Who are they talking about? Well, they're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, they knew who he was and who is intended by in the year of our Lord. That's why they wanted that phrase removed. Now, I personally believe that Ginsburg should have been removed from the bench for this action. I don't believe, and John Roberts as well, both Roberts and Ginsburg should have been taken off the bench at that moment. Unfortunately, we don't have in our political system at this point anybody who's willing to stand up and fight for the authority of God and the true authority of our Christian heritage from a constitutional perspective. And it's because there is so much division within the Christian community, and conservatives are at best moderately convicted. I mean, they might say they're convicted, but are they willing to take action against people who are, through the courts, undermining and overthrowing any authority of God, the Bible, and the Christian faith, which was seen as the law of the land in this country all the way through the end of World War II. But now all of that is being cast aside. And what's replacing it is a system of pure evil. And it's, I mean, this we have to recognize, I believe, that this has happened over and over and over again throughout history. We have to stop telling ourselves that what's happening right now is somehow or other unique in the pages of history. Well, not really according to the Bible. What's happening now is what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. What's happening now is what happened with the Benjamites. This is where I think it gets very interesting. Sodom and Gomorrah had never been a society, as far as we know, that was dedicated to the one true God, as far as we know. However, ancient Israel was dedicated to the one true God and was given the law of God through Moses. So when the tribe of Benjamin, that we read about at the end of the book of Judges, is given over to sexual perversion, they're given over to sodomy and rape, really, because the Benjamites, you have a certain man, a Levite, travels into a town with his concubine, his wife, and is staying with a man who lives in the town. And the Benjamites that night surround the home, just like at Sodom and Gomorrah, and they're demanding to be able to violate the Levite, the man, at first. Well, eventually what happens is his concubine is given over to this mob, and they end up abusing her, raping her all night long, and in the morning she dies. And that event, once the rest of the children of Israel find out about it, that sparks the Benjamite War, where all the tribes of Israel rise up and they oppose the Benjamites and they say, deliver us these men who have done this so that we can put them to death. And the Benjamites refuse and they want to fight about it. So that's what leads to the war. But what happens is the children of Israel go through the tribe of Benjamin and they say to them, what is this wickedness that you have done? Nothing like this has happened since the days that God brought us up from Egypt through with Moses. We haven't had anything like this that has happened. And of course, I'm paraphrasing, but what happened to the tribe of Benjamin? The tribe of Benjamin was systematically given over to sexual perversion, homosexuality, and then just perversion thinking somehow, that they had the right to force themselves on people against their will, because that's where all of this leads. It leads to the belief in the mind of the sexually depraved person who's completely given over to this wickedness. They believe they have the right to force themselves on people, whether those people want to have anything to do with them or not. That's part of the important lesson of what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. It's also an important lesson for what happened with the Benjamite War. And it's what we're seeing. We're seeing the same development in our society today. And we've got to recognize it for what it is, and we've got to recognize that it is not something, if we want to save America, if that's possible. And I'm not necessarily a fatalist, but I believe if there is any salvation for America, meaning if America can be pulled back from the brink of absolute disaster, which is where we're headed, It's only going to happen by giving obedience to the Word of God, to the Bible, restoring the focus on the gospel, the original purpose of America, which was the advancement of the Christian religion, the preaching of the gospel of Christ, and obedience to the gospel. That's the thing. The gospel is not just a message to be preached, it is to be obeyed. That God commands that all men everywhere repent. It's a commandment from God. And that when the Lord returns, he punishes all those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the thing. And restoring that focus and that worldview, which was the worldview in this country for hundreds of years, not just for one or two generations, for hundreds of years. And however imperfectly our ancestors obeyed the Word of God and the commandments of God, pointing out their flaws and say, oh, well, they did this or they did that. Yes, we understand it. That's true of every generation of people. You could say that about every generation. Well, they did this, they did that. They had these mistakes, they did that wrong, etc. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But they were people of faith and conviction that the God of the Bible, the God of Christianity, is the only true God. And that however imperfectly they believe and obey him, he's the one they're going to believe and obey, not some false God. And they're not going to willfully and deliberately cast his word behind their back and just go do whatever they want. That's a very, very different view. And unfortunately, that is the place that our country is being taken into. It is horrific to see what's happening. And our heart, our hope, our prayer ought to be for some kind of national repentance, however it comes about, if the Lord wills. I mean, it's hard to say when you look at history. There are, you know, I think about what was said about ancient Israel at one point, that God raised up prophets, he raised up witnesses to testify to the people of Israel, but they would not hearken, and they became worse and worse until, the scripture says, there was no remedy. And of course, I'm quoting there from, let me get the scripture, 2 Chronicles 36:16. That's that specific verse. Let's go back to verse 15. It says, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. That's verse 16. 2 Chronicles 36:16. And then what happens? Then they're invaded by the Chaldeans, and they're thrown into a war, and judgment falls from there. That's what we should be hoping does not happen to our country. Because as the scripture says, if we would judge in ourselves, we would not be judged. I think that applies at a personal level. I think that applies also at a national level. I think of a nation judges in themselves. You know, like the people of ancient Nineveh, the king and the people recognize, okay, they've sinned against God, let them repent and cry out to God. Who knows? Perhaps God will turn from his fierce wrath that we perish not. And so they had faith in God, they repented, God saw their repentance, and judgment was delayed. Nineveh was judged eventually, but they were spared on that particular occasion because they repented. So can that happen for America? I believe it can happen. Will it happen? I honestly don't know. But as the Lord said to Ezekiel, he said to Ezekiel, speak all the words that I command you, whether they will hear or no. In fact, God tells Ezekiel that he's going to go and preach to the children of Israel, and they're not going to hearken. But nevertheless, what matters is that we obey the Lord, that we obey the Lord, that we teach his word, teach all the nations to the best of our ability, and hope and pray that God will grant us wisdom one day at a time. So I don't talk about these things because I think we should be fear-mongering or that we should live in fear. We shouldn't live in fear. We are saved by hope. We should live with the hope of Christ. And remember that God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Praise the Lord. Ultimately, we have hope, and ultimately we know that the fashion of this world is passing away and that our life is hidden in Christ with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We will stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.